You're listening to The Human Upgrade with Dave Asprey. Formerly Bulletproof Radio. A state of high performance. You're listening to The Human Upgrade with Dave Asprey. This is one of the rare special editions where I do an intervention with a member of my mentorship and membership community called The Upgrade Collective. And this is more than 1,000 people who get together every week with me or with my team, usually a combination of them. And we work on biohacking. We help each other. We've got our own app. And it's a really powerful community. And what I'll do is once a month, I'll sit down with someone from the community who says, "Hey, Dave, I want your help hacking a problem." And then I walk through solving the problem with that person on the air so that you can learn from what they have to say. This will be a really important episode for you if you're alive, because what we are going to do today is talk with a designer and an actor who is 74. She says, "Dave, I want to know how to achieve the most conscious and self-sufficient death," because she's 74 and she's thinking about it. Her name is Nancy Schieber, and you might have seen her where she was on The Untouchables, The Young and the Restless, and the new Adam 12, a swimmer, a dancer, an equestrian. Nancy, welcome.
Thank you. I haven't heard all of those for a long time. I've been out of the acting business for a while. That all of my life, I never thought about actually dying. And then I was there when my father passed, and we had a lot of animals, so I witnessed death. I've always been fascinated by the process. My meditation community talks about it. My meditation teacher said that longtime meditators die with a smile on their face.
There's something to be said for that. And just for the record, you've done a little bit of meditation. How many Vipassanas have you done?
Well, I sat and served at probably about 10.
Have you ever wondered if you're getting enough protein, or what's the best source? Maybe you don't know which plant foods, if any, to include in your diet. If so, I want you to go to the protein panel, Plants versus Animals, at my 9th annual biohacking conference, hosted June 22nd to 24th in Orlando. This is just one of many main stage panels where you can learn from guys like Max Ligavere, Dr. Mark Hyman, and Dr. Amy Shaw, as we go through the merits of both approaches. But that's just the beginning. You get to spend the weekend exploring the biohacking wonderland, 65,000 square feet of tech hall with more than 100 biohacking tools and toys, all approved by me. And you get to talk to the founders. It's the biggest collection in the world, and you're bound to find something to upgrade whatever it is you're working on. To get the best deal on tickets, sign up now. The sooner you register, the more you save, and the conference will sell out as June approaches, like it did last year. So take action today. Go to biohackingconference.com and get your ticket right now.
For the record, you've done a little bit of meditation. How many Vipassanas have you done?
Well, I sat and served at probably about 10.
Okay. And if you're listening to this and say Vipassana is from the yogic tradition, but it's an intense 10-day silent meditation retreat that can be really mind-bending. And doing 10 of them where you're serving others or doing it yourself is, we'll say, a very large amount that someone who's done a lot of personal development work would do. So let's say that you've had some level of achievement on the spiritual development side. You said more therapy than Woody Allen, which which is fantastic.
I would hope so. Sometimes I think, you know, the human part of me has not, I'm not as enlightened as I would like to think I am. You know, I don't know.
It's funny, you just touched on something that is the hardest of all the egos to deal with, and it's called the spiritual ego. And one of my favorite stories about that is for a long time, a group of scientists at Stanford, they were at a sister organization to the nonprofit anti-aging group that I ran that meets near Stanford. I think it was the Noetic Society, if I'm remembering all the names right. And they had a monk
come in, flown in from somewhere in, probably somewhere in India. And they wanted to hook electrodes up to his brain and see what he could do. So he said, okay, I'll sit here. I'll start getting ready. And before they put the electrodes on, they started seeing his brain waves on the machine, because it turns out people with strong brain waves actually do have brain waves that you can sense off their body. And the scientists started getting all excited. And as soon as they got all excited, his brain waves collapsed. And he's like, oh man, I haven't had an ego attack in 20 years. And when you guys started telling me what a good monk I was, it got into my head and I couldn't be in the state. So your comment about I'm not as enlightened as I like to tell myself, that's actually a pretty good sense that you're working on your spiritual ego too. Ego dissolution, or at least ego awareness, is a major part of what I do at 40 Years of Zen, which is my neurofeedback place in Seattle, where once you have a lie detector on your head and you're doing specific, really trauma reduction, but specific exercises to turn off alerts from your nervous system, quite often you're like, oh, those alerts are coming from this ego that wants a bunch of stuff that you don't really want, and you kind of have to do the fight. You can do it in Vipassana. You can do it with psychedelics and all. You're 74. That's pretty young by modern standards. I mean, you probably got another good 25 years in there, especially given all the crazy stuff you do to take care of yourself. I mean, I saw your list of supplements. I'm like, dang, this woman's done her homework. So yeah. Why are you thinking about death now?
Well, first of all, I think I'm taking too many supplements.
We can dial that back.
Recently, both of my doctors told me that I was taking too many antioxidants because I'm getting not the blood spots that happen because I have thin skin and I'm bumping into things, but I just get these blood spots on my arms and hands for seemingly no reason. And that's when they said, pull back on the antioxidants. But I think that, you know, you said something. You said, I've got another 20 years. And quite frankly, I've had a great life, and I always describe myself as a kite without a string. I'm just going here, going there, doing what I love to do, and not planning financially for the future. And a few times that I had a full-time job, I left because I was getting sick in the environment. You know, my body said, you're working for the wrong people here. So I don't have those pensions that I could have had. So ultimately, I've lived this great life. I've galloped racehorses at 3 Canadian racetracks. I danced in New York City. I mean, I've got a really, I don't know. Without going into all the past, I'm tired. I've been fighting for so long since I was a kid, telling people, no, I don't want to do that. You know, when a doctor wanted to do exploratory surgery on one of my injuries, and I said, no, you're not going to do that. It's just going to make it worse. So all my life, I feel like I've been pushing back against a lot of things, and it serves me well. I'm in pretty good shape, I think, you know, compared to my friends. I don't know. I am compared to my friends. But the idea of living another 20 years on very little money and continually fighting, I don't know. Everyone in my family, we are not a long-lived group. Everyone in my family is done by 82. That's the longest anyone has survived. But I mean, obviously, I've lived a very different lifestyle than those people.
In your studies, I mean, are you one of the reincarnation side of things? Are you the I'm dead and I'm gone? Are you I'm dead and I go to heaven? Like, what's your mental framework look like?
It depends on the day.
Got it.
I believe that anything's possible.
Okay. Anything's possible. All right. So you're flexible on that.
I'm very flexible.
All right. I started out believing that, you know what, I'm an atheist. There's no evidence for any of this stuff. I studied computer science. We're meat robots. My family are all scientists. And anyone who believes in any of this is clearly an idiot. Okay. I'm not in that camp anymore because I started paying attention and exploring and reading and just doing stuff. And eventually I realized that the most rational thing you can do is decide that there is such a thing as reincarnation. And here's why. If it's not true, then you won't know.
Right.
Right. If it is true, you'll be more relaxed when it's your time to go. So you cannot lose by believing in that, unless you have a little bit of childhood programming from an organized religion that says, if you believe that, then you're going to go to hell. Right. And then you've got to do your own work about whether there's evidence and whether, you know, they're trying to get something from you.
Yeah.
And there can be great healing in organized religion. And there's always valuable knowledge in whatever lineage we're talking about. So you're not a member of a church. And so we can have an open talk about that. There's a lady who's a friend who's really amazing. Her name is Julie Ryan. You can go to askjulieryan.com, J-U-L-I-E, ryan.com. She's got a book on death. And Julie's interesting because she was a woman entrepreneur for 25 or 30 years. And the entire time, kind of like Edgar Cayce, they're both like, you know, I can see all this stuff, but they didn't tell anyone until later in life. But meanwhile, they're walking around thinking everyone must see this. And they go, oh my God, I'm the only one who sees it. Maybe I'm crazy. So Julie figured out she could see all sorts of things, including what happened at death. And she never told a soul until she was done being an entrepreneur. And now she actually does work over the phone with people. But I found her to be very credible. And I've talked to enough people with unusual abilities. I'm blessed that a lot of them come to 40 years of Zen. So she passed the sniff test and then some. And she actually has a short, easy-to-read book. It's called Angelic Attendance, What Really Happens as We Transition from This Life into the Next. And this is what she sees when people pass. But it matches diagrams you'll see in various religious texts. And what you'll find is there's something that happens with your soul when it passes. And if it goes in peace, a good death is a good death. And if it goes feeling unsatisfied and with feelings that are negative, then you're, if you believe in reincarnation, have to pay for it later. So if you're pondering death, which is an okay thing to do, like if you're done, like I've come and I've experienced, and I've done it, like there's no bad thing. And it's not an act of giving up. It's an act of evolving to whatever's next. When you read Julie Ryan's book, what she explains, and I think this is what she sees consistently over and over, is that when your soul's ready to let go of your body, that your father's family and your mother's family align themselves around you. And usually, in her view, there are angelic attendants. Guys, you might believe that there are angels, there aren't angels. My experience is that there are. And gifted people can call on them and work on them or work with them in very specific ways. And I would say you have very little to lose from the placebo effect, even if I'm wrong, but I'm not. So there will be angels to help you. There will be your family, your dead family, and all of the pets that have ever been a part of your life will show up for you.
Well, there are some family members I don't want to show up. Do I have any control over that?
Yes, of course. Your energy does. But you might even schedule a call with Julie, read her book, and maybe schedule a call with her and talk to her about it. She's one of the good ones on death. The other thing that I've come across in my various research is that there's a pretty good paper that looks at fear of death. And you actually aren't particularly fearful of death, which, congratulations.
I'm not afraid of death. I'm afraid of somebody putting me on some sort of support and giving me concoctions to keep me going when I don't want to. That's my fear.
So you have a DNR, like do not resuscitate.
I do, but I
in a living also, will and all that.
Yeah, but I also know that there are people who think that they need to save you no matter what. I know that happens to people.
It's monstrous, and those are traumatized people. They're trying to do their best, but seriously, they need therapy. Because the bottom line is, when you signed up to come into the world, you signed up to leave the world. That's how it works. And, you know, to fight heroically to save someone who is suffering and is going to die anyway very shortly, unless that's what they wanted, that doesn't seem like of benefit to anyone other than the person who's feeling good that they bought you one more month of suffering and maybe they could not feel good about it. So that goes into medical ethics and all. But if you have the power of medical attorney, the do not resuscitate order, and a living will that says what you want to have happening, it's unlikely that'll happen. And the study that I'm thinking of is actually one that said when people are nearing, you know, the end of their life, whether it's because they're done or because they have some medical condition, which you don't have, well, one dose, like full dose of psychedelic mushrooms, of psilocybin, dramatically reduces fear of death so that they can pass peacefully. And I don't think it would be my place to say you should go do that, because honestly, this isn't your big trauma. Like you're from every indication I can have, you're okay with this. I don't think you're okay with actually dying alone. I think that that's your, you know, I've been independent. I've been powerful, and that's a defense mechanism because, well, your dad wasn't that nice to you and you learned to do that early on and you've carried it with you your whole life.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think okay. So.
I'm just going to have to call it like I see it. I may be wrong, and I'm just doing it out of love and kindness. And you might consider doing something called EMDR, which I'm guessing you might know about.
I've done it.
Of course you have.
I've for done listeners.
You really have. You're an impressive woman.
I've been drumming in the mountains with shamans.
Okay, so you're so well equipped.
And I've done it all on practically no money. I just managed to get by, and I don't know.
The people doing the spiritual work, when they see who you are, not just walking up, but who you are, the way they can see, they help. That's what they're here to do, right? So I've seen lots of times when I'm like, oh, you know, if you can't afford my fine, like we'll make this work, because they can tell it's the right thing to do, and that's what healers do. So EMDR, yeah, though, specifically around whatever medical trauma you have, because when you're really at peace, even if some misguided soul hooks you up to a bunch of tubes and monitors, it is possible to be at peace with the fact that, you know, fine, I'm serving them, you know, I'm kind of done here, I'm going to leave. They're doing a bunch of acting out of whatever their fear of death trauma is, but I'm not going to let it take me off my path. That's the ultimate equanimity, the ultimate resilience. In Buddhism, equanimity is the most sought after state before enlightenment, which is that I can meditate in the middle of a storm. Nothing in the world around me can take me out of my chosen state. Underneath that, and less important, is compassion, which is, okay, I have the ability to feel other people suffering, but I don't have to. And below that is empathy, where I feel other people's feelings, but man, that can be expensive to be empathetic all the time. And underneath that is apathy, which is where many people are. I don't feel anything. I don't want to feel anything. So there's different levels. And there's different levels and types of resilience and equanimity. And so at the highest levels, if something like that did happen, why don't you equip yourself to be completely at peace with that? Because for you, it's probably two EMDR sessions to figure out where that fear comes from and be like, look, if I don't have control, I don't have control, but I'm still me.
Well, that is... that's a source of, like, I have a little anger around that. It's like, oh, do I have to, am I going to have to achieve that level of equanimity in order? You know, it's like, I don't want to do that work, or I don't know.
You know what's behind anger, don't you? And all the learnings you're doing, what sits behind anger?
Well, sadness.
And what sits behind sadness?
Fear.
Uh-huh. And what sits behind fear?
That I don't know if I have the answer you're looking for.
It's joy. It's happiness. By now, you've probably seen me holding a cube-looking thing. Well, it's a device from Lila Quantum Tech, and it has effects on blood flow in the body. And in the latest study from the Emoto Institute in Japan, showed that 3 minutes in the quantum block structures water like they haven't seen with any other method or device in 25 years plus of studying it. Drinking structured water does support your mitochondrial energy production. It seems to have a positive effect on aging, and it's good for inflammation. Do we know everything about how water and collagen interact in our cells at the quantum level? We absolutely don't. But now there are 5 different studies showing you that the Lila quantum block is doing something, probably at the quantum realm, that improves biological performance. Go to LeelaQ.com. Use code Dave10. I'll give you 10% off site-wide. You can start with a card, you can start with a pendant, or you can get one of the blocks that allows you to charge other things. It works.
Quick question for you. What makes you feel more invigorated, less stressed, and more in control of your body? The answer, more energy. Specifically, more quantum energy, because our bodies are quantum systems. Leela Quantum Tech has figured out a way to harness quantum energy so you can reach a state of vibrancy that you've probably never felt. Dozens of studies show that Leela Q's products neutralize the effects of harmful EMFs around us and even release positive energy that can improve your blood flow, optimize your heart rate, and other benefits. Leela Q has some heavy science backing it up. A recent study looked at people who use Leela Q for just 10 minutes. The study used a special blood illumination technique called dark field microscopy, and it showed significant protective and improvement effects on blood flow. So take a quantum leap into higher vibration at LeelaQ.com/Dave and claim your exclusive 10% discount.
You're listening to The Human Upgrade with Dave Asprey.
You know what sits behind anger, don't you, and all the learnings you've done? What sits behind anger?
Well, sadness.
And what sits behind sadness?
Fear.
Uh-huh. And what sits behind fear?
That I don't know if I have the answer you're looking for.
It's joy. It's happiness. When people do trauma resolution work, which is a portion of what I guide them through with brainwaves, I wouldn't be able to do what I do here. I wouldn't be able to have this conversation. I mean, I spent 6 months with electrodes glued to my head doing the reset process to go through all this stuff. That hierarchy, it's like Russian nested dolls, right? And if someone feels apathy, it's the lowest level, right? And then behind that, there's anger. And behind that, there's sadness. And behind that, there's fear. And when you work through all those, and you're going, well, I thought I didn't give a shit, but actually I was afraid. But my body made me think I didn't care because it was easier than facing fear, because fear is ultimately fear of death. You don't have much fear of death, but you have some little fear, some anger thing there. So it's worth working through that. So working through that anger and the sadness so that you can experience joy even there is a final step. But you don't have to do it. If everyone did everything that they thought they had to do in their lives, A, we'd all be miserable, or we'd all be enlightened in one lifetime, right? So no, you don't have to. You get to pick.
But I know what I want to pick. And, you know, I'm always so inspired by people who are paralyzed and yet they're happy and free in their minds, you know?
Yeah. Some of the most inspiring people. Sean Stevenson was a dear friend who was on the show. They called him like the 3 foot giant, and he had brittle bone disease, lived twice as long as he should have, countless broken bones. Such a happy, kind, giving soul. I'm like, man, if he can be in that state with that kind of suffering, like, how is it possible? So it's real. And listen to that episode if you want to be inspired. One of our mutual friends who's also been on the show asked him, you know, how can you handle, like, how do you feel that this happened to you? Like, aren't you mad? And he said, it didn't happen to me. It happened for me. And he meant it. Yeah. Right. So you want to get to the state that if someone decides to hook you up to some kind of equipment you don't want, it happened for you. Or you could resolve the trauma ahead of time so it doesn't need to happen for you. So that's why you might choose to do it, but you don't have to do anything you don't want to do. And no one listening has to do anything they don't want to do. Have to is a weasel word. It's never true.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your blood spots. You have some leaky arteries here. You want to know what you're taking that's causing it?
My family history is all vascular. You know, my father had his veins, back when they were stripping veins, he had his veins stripped in his legs a couple of times. He had a bypass surgery, he had an aortic aneurysm repaired, he had a valve replacement. Did I say bypass? And then he had another valve replacement. His brother died at 65 of a heart attack, just boom, out of nowhere. My grandmother with strokes, my father's mother. Anyway, because of the vascular history, when I start bleeding into my hands and arms, that's my first thought is, uh-oh. I mean, you know, there are people who've tried to put me on statins, and I won't do it. I've always had pretty high cholesterol. But when I did the stress test and the echocardiogram, I'm fine. But I'm always thinking about that vascular thing. And now that it's starting to really show up, my doctor is an anthroposophical. She practices anthroposophical medicine, Rudolf Steiner. Mm-hmm. And so she's always talking to me about the something pushing out into, I don't know. She's great. I love her. She never took insurance because she didn't want anyone telling her how to practice medicine.
Good for her. Many of my favorite doctors just realized that they could spend all their time on the phone with insurance companies or helping patients, and they just charge less to patients and don't talk to insurance companies. And it works.
She's been my doctor for over 20 years. And when I was really struggling financially, I would go in to see her, and she would, it's her practice. She and her husband have this practice. She would go out and she'd come back and she'd pull things out of her lab coat and give them to me and say, here, put these in your purse. She would actually give me, homeopathic remedies and things like that. So
that's amazing.
She's a healer.
I love hearing stories like that.
Yeah.
So you take a very well manicured list of supplements that you've shared with me. And one of the things that can happen with supplements is if you take too much of them or take them too often or they're the wrong ones for you, they can have some negative effects. And you likely have the same genetics I do for leaky membranes. So for me, I'm in like the top 15% of risk for cardiovascular things because I actually have the same genetics that's very common with people of Western African ancestry, even though I don't have any of that in my genetics that the genetics companies can find. But that membrane things, this all comes from the DNA company, means that your membranes are just more likely to be leaky. Leaky gut, leaky arteries, leaky lungs, leaky blood-brain barrier, more susceptible to toxins, etc. So I hear you on that. And the most likely thing that's causing a problem is you're overdosing on omega-3s, on fish oil. You're taking 4 grams of a really well-formulated product, the Omega Krill Complex. I say well-formulated because I created that one. That Bulletproof makes. That's a heavy dose. And your body weight is substantially less than mine. I do about a gram a day of omega-3s. And you also take the Mercola herring caviar oil, which is interesting because it has the same kind of fish egg oil that's present in the omega krill complex. So you're getting the most potent omega-3s, which come from fish eggs, followed by krill, followed by fish oil from 2 different supplements. And they're both well formulated. It's just a lot. And those cause very, very thin blood. So you might have overdone it. On top of that, you're taking lumbrokinase, which is an enzyme that breaks up blood clotting factors. It comes from earthworms, and it's genetically engineered in a good way to do that. You're taking serrapeptase, which comes from silkworms, which breaks up clotting proteins in the blood, which also can be good for scarring, which is something I've been taking for a while. And you're taking natokinase, which is a protein that breaks up clotting factors, and that one comes from fermented soybeans that taste like boogers. Or look like boogers and probably taste like them too.
So this is my fear of blood clots, obviously.
It is indeed. Let's just say you're not going to be clotting on that snack, but you might be leaking a little bit. So may I respectfully suggest you save some money by getting your omega-3s down to about 1 gram a day and seeing how you do. And you're looking to save money on your supplements. Natokinase is relatively expensive. You probably don't need to be taking 100 milligrams a day of that if you're also taking all that other stuff. You're also taking the Bioptimizer's Mastzymes. Are you taking that on an empty stomach or with food?
I usually try to do it on an empty stomach just before I eat.
Okay, got it. But you're using it for food then. So it's in your stomach before the food comes in, which is great because then your body can actually use the food. And as we age, we tend to make less digestive enzymes and all. Right. So it's also possible to use Mastzymes in the same way that you're using natokinase and serrapeptase and all. Any protein digesting enzyme, when you take it on an empty stomach, can work on those blood things. So I would say pick one of those enzymes that you're going to take on an empty stomach. And that's going to be money saving and probably make your hands look the way you want them to look. You don't take a lot of antioxidants otherwise, and you probably don't need them. You take some fat-soluble vitamin C, You take some alpha lipoic acid, which is good for chelating metals, good for mitochondria. You only take 190 milligrams of ascorbyl palmitate, which is the vitamin C form, which is a good amount. And I don't see a lot of other antioxidants there. Something I like that you're doing is you're taking artirosil, which is something I also take. I've had them on the show. And this is something that for people with leaky membranes keeps the glycocalyx, the lining of the arteries, more intact. So I think that's a really good one. And you're taking several of the other people who've been on the show to talk about the science behind what they make, which is cool. You're taking an ADK formula from Da Vinci, which is a good one. And so I'm looking at all the stuff here. That's probably the one that's most problematic of all the, or I'd say those are the ones that are most problematic that could be causing what you've got going on. Nothing else in your list makes sense. You take several different really high-end probiotics. You might save some money by alternating which day you take them. I don't think you need to take all of them every day.
I've backed off, you know, I on my list I said every day, but it's not really every day. They're the ones I take most frequently. I've tried to back off a little bit.
I don't take mine every day. Like I'm like, I don't know today. I didn't feel like it. I reached for the bottle. My buddy said it. You don't want those today. I'm like, okay, I don't want those today. And then I travel and also look, if you have prebiotics every day, which you do take the way I recommended in Superhuman, so you're taking some prebiotics in your coffee. Look, you have a environment in your gut that's going to grow lots of the good guys. So you occasionally take some more good guys to make sure it's reseeded, and I think you're going to be fine. So you could probably save $150 a month by just taking the same probiotics. Just take them once every 5 days, right? And see if that works. Maybe once every 3 days. I think that's good. Other areas where you could cut, if you, it would be certainly be the expensive enzymes for blood clotting. We've already done that.
I did. See. Do you know the Genova test? The yeah. Genova. Uh-huh. I did that. I don't know, 6 months ago, and that's why I upped my omega 3s because it said I was low in omega 3s, B vitamins, and a. ALA. So I upped everything at that time.
Did it say what kind of omega-3 you were low in?
Yeah. Oh, it said that the omega-6, omega-3 balance was off.
Was it too much omega-6?
Too much omega-6. So I backed off omega-6 and I probably I have a tendency to overdo things. I probably overdid the omega-3s.
I'm looking at what you eat that contains omega-6s, and either you're eating some stuff that you're not telling me about, but you eat, you know, blended coffee with ghee and brain octane and prebiotics and collagen. Sounds familiar. Love it.
yeah, you saved my life, Dave. I was on a walker when I started. Actually, really? I started with Mark Hyman and did his 10-day thing.
He's great.
Yeah. And I, you know, I'd always been a health nut, but I was always following trends that, you know we know were ridiculous. And as I got older, I just started thinking, well, my whole family's obese, so maybe this is just, I have to accept it. And then I fell down a flight of granite stairs, got a stress fracture in my knee. They put me on crutches, and within a week, I got a lot of old injuries. All of my old injuries were exacerbated. I was on a walker. I was a mess. And that was when I found a prolotherapist who saved me. He used me as the person to demo all of these surgeons that he was training. So I got a lot of prolo that I wouldn't have been able to afford, and did Mark Hyman's 10-day and found out that I was eating stuff I shouldn't. And then I found you and started with all of your stuff. And I slept in a recliner for 14 years with aches and pains from old injuries. And once I started doing all of this stuff, I've got my hip is starting to, I don't know, it's not, I'm not happy with it. But other than that, I'm pain-free. I'm good. You know, you've been a big part of my healing process, and I'm really grateful for that.
Nancy, I'm honored. Really, you've lived a fantastic and interesting life. And if you were in a state of pain the way I was in my 20s, that sucks. I don't want anyone to do that. The fact that you can be 74 and saying, "Yeah, I used to do that. I don't do it anymore," and you did it later in life. Like anyone listening to the show, you can do it too. And I'm going to blatantly plug the Upgrade Collective, like ourupgradecollective.com.
Please do.
Join that, right? And it's not just me. There's like 1,000 people are all working on this of all ages, working on figuring all this stuff out. And getting support from a community is important as you're figuring out how to not be in pain all the time.
Well, you know, what you say about community, the community that I have with the collective is something that I have never had. I've never been surrounded by people who think like I do. You know, I've got my very dear friends who roll their eyes still, even though they're a mess. They're bags of pills. And I try, you know, I try not to interject, but every now and then I'll say, well, you know, I can help you with that. If you no, and they roll their eyes. I don't know.
You're exactly why I wanted to make the Upgrade Collective. I mean, it's a group of people who are figuring all this stuff out and willing to think about it and willing to be curious, which you've been your whole life, and to help each other about it. And it's kind of relaxing to know that you're not alone in that quest. It turns out there's a lot of biohackers, millions of us. And just being able to spend some quality time with them, knowing that your neighbors are probably more like potato chip and beer hackers than biohackers. And that's okay. Like, that's what they picked. But just because you're unusual doesn't mean that you're alone. And
I've been teaching for so long, and lately I've been thinking I don't want to teach anymore, but I want to do something. So I don't know if hospice is...
There's absolutely a need for hospice workers, and you're exactly the kind of person who any sane person would want there when they pass, because you've done enough work on yourself that you can sit there and hold space for someone instead of losing your mind. So you'd be an awesome hospice person, and anyone who died in your presence would be lucky that it was you. So sit with those words. That's real. And that may provide so much immense value to your life. You're like, you know what? I want to do this for a while longer, and that's okay too, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Nancy, thanks for being in the Upgrade Collective. Thanks for being willing to have a really open and interesting and heartfelt conversation with me. And I hope it was useful for you.
I think it was very useful for me. It went, I didn't know what to expect, but it was, I think, calming in a way, which is good.
Beautiful. Well, thanks for asking the hard questions and just for having lived an interesting life and being willing to share it with others. It's cool. Guys, ourupgradecollective.com. You might want to hang out with people like Nancy and me and 1,000 other cool people who are working on cool stuff, and it's growing every day. You also get access to all of the courses where I teach you the content in all of my books, challenges, discussion groups, and an active team of coaches and me where we all work together. So there's a call every week, and there's just active people who are working with you, both who are part of my team and who are just part of our community, so you can evolve and transform yourself a lot more quickly than is probably going to happen doing it all by yourself. Hopefully, you'll consider checking it out. It's very affordable. OurUpgradeCollective.com. I'll see you all in the next episode of The Human Upgrade.
You're listening to The Human Upgrade with Dave Asprey.
The Human Upgrade, formerly Bulletproof Radio, was created and is hosted by Dave Asprey. The information contained in this podcast is provided for informational purposes only and is not intended for the purposes of diagnosing, treating, curing, or preventing any disease. Before using any products referenced on the podcast, consult with your healthcare provider, carefully read all labels, and heed all directions and cautions that accompany the products. Information found or received through the podcast should not be used in place of a consultation or advice from a healthcare provider. If you suspect you have a medical problem or should you have any healthcare questions, please promptly call or see your healthcare provider. This podcast, including Dave Asprey and the producers, disclaim responsibility for any possible adverse effects from the use of information contained herein. Opinions of guests are their own, and this podcast does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests. This podcast does not make any representations or warranties about guest qualifications or credibility. This podcast may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products or services. Individuals on this podcast may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to herein. This podcast is owned by Bulletproof Media.